家好，欢迎收听未来事务管理局独家出品的丢丢科幻电波，我是主播船长。今天呢是一期特别节目，大家在标题里已经看到了哈，我们与导演丹尼斯·维伦纽瓦围绕《沙丘二》进行了一次独家对谈。那在2021年《沙丘一》上映的时候，导演首次亮相中文播客就是在丢丢科幻电波，大家可以去回听那期节目哈。那么现在《沙丘二》已经上映几天了，大家可以看到各种铺天盖地的访谈啊、花絮啊，但是这期节目会是全网唯一一次机会，你可以在中文播客里听到他的声音。那未来局作为所有媒体中的唯一一家科幻自媒体，争取到了宝贵的8分钟对话，所以接下来呢，你会听到导演丹尼斯·维伦纽瓦围绕科幻大视觉的呈现对未来局问题的独家回答。在一次访谈中啊，他曾经提到沙丘想要重点呈现的就是人在厄拉克斯巨大生态系统中的渺小，人对自然的敬畏。所以我问啊，要呈现这种大小对比，你是具体怎么做的？2年前在沙丘一上映的时候，我们其实向他抛了一个问题，就是为什么他喜欢在作品里面使用巨大沉默封闭的几何体。那进一步说，这种巨物迷恋其实是一种对大小对比的偏好，在维伦纽瓦许多电影中你都可以看到这样的对比。在视觉上，在叙事上，他喜欢将小小的人放置在巨大的他者面前。那么接下来他在《沙丘三》里又会怎样去进一步探讨这种对比呢？导演是这样回答的。
The thing is that by using a format like IMAX, definitely helped me to create that contrast by shooting most of the movie with extremes. It's either with close-ups or very wide shots. And using those wide shots in a way that they will bebe absolutely fully appreciated in a theater. That contrast, I try to create with that contrast this idea of the impact of the landscape on the psyche of characters. It starts with the writing, where I try to have that, to focus the scenes that are the evolution of characters is always embedded with the environment and the impact on the environment on their psyche. I cannot talk about Dune 3 because it's not made yet, but I would say that it all comes from the book. The idea that the book is many things, but also a study of the impact of ecosystems on humans, how nature shapes the cultures, the beliefs, the technique,And it's something that I try to convey cinematically.
他说首先呢就是运用 IMAX 这种格式帮助我去构造这种差异感，还有在拍摄上使用很多极致的镜头语言，要么是特写，要么是极宽的远景。这些大远景的拍摄都是以影院的观影体验为基准而设计的。那通过这些对比，我试图展现出景观特征对于角色们心理状态的影响。现在呢还无法讨论沙丘三，因为还没拍出来，但是可以说的是沙丘三也会继续探讨书中那些关于自然环境对人类的影响，关于自然是如何塑造文化信仰和技术的。那换句话说，自然和人的关系我会从小说的写作发源，那么在影视化的改编过程中则会聚焦于环境对于人物心理状态的影响。以上就是他的回答了。接下来的问题是，沙丘是美国科幻作家弗兰克·赫伯特创作于上世纪60-70年代的作品，他描绘了一个未来宇宙间少年英雄称帝的故事。那无论如何，导演要在今天讲述这样的故事是难度极高的，所以我们想知道啊，导演是怎么将原著旧故事重新表达以适应新时代的语境的，那么他又觉得他自己做得怎么样呢？导演的回答是
The thing is that I triedto make sure that I will be faithful to Frank Herbert, that his desire to do a cautionary tale about messianic figure, not a celebration of a messianic figure. And in order to do so, I change a little bit the nature of the story by focusing, by bringing up, bringing closer to the surface, by bringing Shani, the character, Zendaya's character, to bring her more at in the upfront.And to, because her character helped me to create a critic distance with Paul and to bring the movie in a different direction than to make Frank Herbert's ideas more clear than in the book. Because according to what I understood, he was not happy with the way the first book was perceived. So I tried to be faithful to his early desires, and I will say that by doing so, there's more femininity in the movie, which I think is a more contemporary way to tell that story.
他说，首先我要保证自己忠于弗兰克·赫伯特。那原著其实是想要讲述一个关于弥赛亚的警示预言，而不是对弥赛亚的歌颂。那为了做到这一点，我给这个故事的一部分做了改动，把契尼这个赞达亚扮演的角色刻画得比原著更加突出。那这个角色有助于我来构建保罗这个角色的距离感，把电影引导至一个与原著略微不同的方向，让赫伯特的主题更加的鲜明。他说，因为根据我的理解啊，就赫伯特对于人们对第一本小说的理解其实并不认同，所以呢，我试图忠于他原始的意图，并且通过这种改编，电影中的女性会更加突出，这也更加契合现代的讲述方式。好，以上就是他的回答。迄今为止啊，维伦纽瓦挑战了许多科幻巨著的视觉化呈现，就是当我们回过头来发现，他啃的都是科幻硬骨头。比如《沙丘》和《你一生的故事》都被认为是很难影视化的作品。那在维伦纽瓦之前，《沙丘》是佐杜洛夫斯基召集了达利、莫比斯等等艺术大师都没能拍出来的作品。那么《银翼杀手2049》的前作是雷德利·斯科特的《银翼杀手》，又是一个难以超越的里程碑。那接下来维伦纽瓦还会成为21世纪第一位拍摄阿瑟·克拉克作品的导演，在他之前上一位敢拍克拉克的导演还是在20世纪的库布里克，所以我们很好奇面对这样的难关他会有什么样的觉悟。那导演是这样回答的，
I love creativity is linked with risk for me and challenges、mm-hmm. and to try to push my own limits as a filmmaker. I don't like to walk in my own footsteps. I'm trying to make movies that, and I'm not saying I succeed, I'm saying I'm trying todo things different、from one movie to the other and to be challenged and to take risk.、it's the way I love to create. So that's why.
他说他很喜欢这种挑战带来的与风险相伴的创造，还有就是拓展他作为一个电影人的能力边界。他说他不喜欢固步自封，这并不是说他已经取得了成功，而是说他总是试着制作与之前作品不同的电影，被挑战与风险相伴是他喜爱的创作方式，这就是理由。那么我又追问了一下，就是在你做过的所有科幻电影里最难视觉化的是哪一部？他说是《银翼杀手2049》。
I will say that Blade Runner 2049 was a big challenge because I was walking, I was in the shoes of someone else. So that for me was something that it was another level of difficulty. With Dune, it was for me like a white canvas. I was totally free. I had just to deal with myself. But doing Blade Runner, I felt a huge responsibility to honor the legacy of Ridley Scott, and that was not easy.
In Dune, which part is the most difficult to visualize?
To be honest, it was for me, that's the beauty, that's all, it's for me, it's not difficult, it's pleasure. So it's just like pure pleasure. I have like the time of my life bringing those dreams to the screen. So it's like, it's not, it's difficult to, I will say what is difficult is to make the right decisions to all to tell that story in the screenwriting process. But the visualization of the, how to bring those images, that's the fun of it.
他说，我会说《银翼杀手2049》是一个巨大的挑战，因为有珠玉在前。那对我来说，《沙丘》就像是一块空白的画布，我是完全自由的，我只需要做好自己的事儿。但是拍摄《银翼杀手2049》时，拍《银翼杀手2049》，我感受到的是一种沉甸甸的责任，因为要继承和弘扬雷德利·斯科特的创作，那完全是另一种意义上的难。接下来的问题是，从小说到影像，视觉转化一向是困难重重的。那顺着刚才的问题，我们回到沙丘。在沙丘一和二中都有许多的抽象场景，比如说预知未来、折叠时空、恐惧测试等等。那如果遇到非常抽象的意象和场景，导演会如何解决呢？导演是这样回答的。
It's, I try to take my time. I try to, not to, I try to approach Each movie will have approach a different aspect of the novel, and trying to not to embrace everything in the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I think I try to make the most simple storyline as possible, so it allows me to go deeper
mm-hmm.
in some of those aspects that you're talking about. And so I try to make bold choices right at the start in order to, I didn't try to embrace everything. That's the key.
他说我会慢慢来，尝试着在每一部电影中使用不同的手段来展现不一样的内容，并且啊，不要想着去一次性呈现所有东西。我试着将故事线简化到极致，这样就能让我更深入的去展现那些抽象的概念。不一次性展现所有，这个就是关键。以上呢就是本次特别节目的全部内容。电影《沙丘二》现在还在影院热映，欢迎大家去大荧幕上感受维伦纽瓦的巨物迷恋啊！作为科幻迷，我们也非常非常期待他会怎么将阿瑟·克拉克笔下的巨大飞行器搬进影院。欢迎加接待员微信 FAA0504 进入全宇宙最学术最多核心粉丝的沙丘群，跟同好们一起聊电影跟小说，也欢迎你加入丢丢听众群认识更多听友。我们下期节目再见。